left my fear by side the road. Hear you speak and won't let go. Fall to my knees and lift my hands to pray. Got every reason to be here again. A father's love that draws me in. And all my eyes want to see is a glimpse of you. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you. Is you, Lord. All I need is you.
Oh, Father God, we thank you, God, for so much and for what you have done for us in our lives, God. We thank you, God, for just the breath of life that you have given us since day one, God. God, when we come to you, God, tonight, God, right now, God, that you will be able to open up our minds and our understanding, God, and our interpretation about you, God. God, be able to show us revelations, God. Be able to peel back those onions, God, that we can be able to see your glory, God. To be able to see your wonderful power, God. And God, the Bible says, God, if any man may hunger, God, or thirst, God, he shall be filled, God. And God, that's all we want, to be filled, God, with you, God. And as we rest in your name, let your will be done here on earth as it in heaven. Amen.
Who did you get out of there? Did anybody go back and look at their names? What their name means?
No, I didn't, to be honest with you.
Then go back and look at what their name means.
No, sir. No. Sorry.
That's the difference between y'all and me. And that's what I want you to start doing when you're with somebody.
Uh-huh.
Look up every little thing.
Okay.
Okay? That's the difference of what I would have done if I was in the class than what you would have done. I would have went back, looked and said exactly what their name means, because that would tell us a little bit more about the story. Ain't saying, come on now, y'all looking at me right
now.
I'm trying to give you, see, I'm trying to, the thing about it is, I want you to, they classes right here that we had these, I want y'all to be better than what I will ever be. Mm. So I'm giving you the same tools, I'm giving you how I think. If I would have walked in a class, if I would have went in a discussion like this with Mark Hammond or somebody,
mm-hmm.
I would, or with Kelly, or any of them, when I'm with them, I would listen to what they had to say, but then I would go back and research what they did.
Okay.
You know, but the thing about it is, just like being Berean, I would have went back. It would have been enough for me to just to hear that story. I would went back. What do their names mean? You understand what I'm saying? And when you go back and study it, then the thing about it is, you begin to get more clarity on what's there.
Mm.
What y'all looking like that for? So that's what I want y'all to do. I want you to be Berean. The reason why I say Berean, because the Thessalonians, Paul noted something that was different between the Thessalonians and the Bereans. He said the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things that Paul said, if they was true. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it just dawned on me to talk about, we're going to go back to Genesis. But I just really want to ask y'all, did y'all go back and look at the names? Because I really want y'all to have a frame of reference. I just don't want you to come in here and catch and just feed y'all fish. And we feed each other. But I want to give you a method by which you can begin to start interpreting things.
Okay,
give you a method. Give you, you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So start giving you a pattern by which you can start looking things up.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Start researching things without somebody having to say go do it. Mm-hmm. You having that hunger to do it. Because one thing you can't teach is hunger.
Okay, so when you do research on this, is it that, I mean, you know, like your regular Bible, you just go in there and look up the meaning of it? Or you just go to other different
You need to get different sources.
Different
and you don't need to just get one source. I would start with the Strong's Concordance, say.
Uh-huh.
I would go into Strong's Concordance and go into the Hebrew and Greek.
Mm-hmm.
See what that's it says right there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not so much searching for knowledge as much as you're searching for meaning.
Meaning, okay. So you can niche.
And what's one thing to know what their name means? It's another thing to get the knowledge of the information of what their name means. It's another thing to get the meaning of what Christ is trying to say.
Okay,
because it's powerful, because both
is.
Mary and Martha name means rebellion, and you would have never thought that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Both mm-hmm. their name means rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have a variation, but they go back to the name Rebellion. The root of their name goes back to Rebellion. I mean, that sounds significant. You don't hear too many people talk about that married name means Rebellion.
Well, what did that mean? It means Rebellion. Well, yeah, tell us a little about that.
That's what you are.
Because I'm quite sure you...
We're going to go back to the next number.
Wow, this is rough. We're in the right room.
I know that's right. Taking us to some new levels in this class.
But what I'm saying is you get the meaning of what's going on. And then God began to talk to you through his own voice, of what that may mean to you and your life, or what it may mean in the context of where they were. Got you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, but sir, could you explain just a little pinch of a light rebellion? Because you would never thought that.
Yeah.
You know.
Just a little.
Just pinch. A little. You ain't got to go into the whole thing. Then we can chew like off that and go
glimpse.
On.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little glimpse.
Just a little glimpse. Just a little glimpse.
That's something you can do.
Well, I know that I can do it, teacher. But you know, I have
you can do. I already gave you a little glimpse. You did not know that name meant rebellion.
But just a little, so we can.
Because is it
exciting? You know, be interest. Say, oh God, I got to dig in here.
If the word rebellion has more than one meaning,
that's right.
Because we got to look it up.
See what I'm saying? See what I'm talking about? Now, that's what I'm talking about.
You've thought
now
thinking.
That's God speaking through you, and you begin to get the interpretation of what God wants you to see through this.
See, because we see in rebellion as one thing, it might mean so many other things.
Yeah.
I can't move that.
I mean, you know. What does that mean? I mean, what her name mean, rebellion? What does God, see, God may tell you a different, I don't want to give you just my definition on it. And God may give you, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I wasn't just talking about your definition.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want you to be limited to that.
I want you to go into the spirit told you.
Then you come back and you research it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And look at it. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay,
that's something we can come back and talk about.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
You know?
Put it on my hit list.
Rebellion. But what what we're going to go into tonight is that Genesis. We're going to hit on that Genesis. Genesis 1 and 1. We're going to sit on that first chapter of Genesis. Because what we're talking about is what I want to go back in and I want to look at and let's expound a little bit more on it as we sit around here tonight. As
God giving us this free room and all.
That's blessed, man.
Yes,
sir.
We want to talk about day one. We talk about being a We talked about it in general, about them 6 days. But we want to put it in sort of the context and put it where, you know, where you have the nuts and bolts to it. Because I know you all have it in general, but I want to make sure that you have it more than just in general, that you have a real outline of what God may be saying, what God may be doing. And then on top of that, you know, you can see the pattern of it. I want you to be able to see this for yourself. So the first one we're going to discuss is this day one. And that's all we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this first day. And we're going to discuss it. And you know, it's odd that the place closed down tonight, because the thing about it is that I was already thinking about us using other venues, going to other places. You know?
Correct.
Doing other things, you know, maybe, you know, around dinner, something like that, you know. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And y'all can go back and look at Mary and Martha and Rebellion and all of that. All
right.
But the only reason why I threw that out there is because everything that we go over, you need to re-go over it. And go over it a little deeper, then come back and add something to it. Because there's a lot of things in there that ain't seen that you're going to be able to see, and I won't be able to see it like you see it. And I need just as much input as you need. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Why y'all looking at me like that?
You the teacher.
We're soaking this
no, I ain't. We just, we in the kingdom discussion.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
I'm leading the way, but we're all teachers around here.
Well, we're all teachers.
Tonight, you ain't seeing yourself as a student. You were already in the most holy place. You're already there. You just need to bring your thoughts to the table. And then we all going to feed upon them. Night we all eat. We eat as kings, even if it's just for one night. Ain't that my saying, Harry?
Yeah, that's your saying.
There you go. The Because if you see yourself as a student, you've already limited yourself.
Oh, no.
If you see yourself as already arrived, all you have to do is just bring it out the spool. You won't be afraid to talk. Genesis chapter 1. Let's go. I'm just going to start the path on is we're going to talk about the first couple days in Genesis. And we already determined that the point of reference where we're coming from is I'm already starting us off really at the deep end of the pool. These really days really has nothing to do with God creating anything, okay? That is really on the surface of things. We already know that God created. Just like when it starts off and it says, in the beginning, God, mm-hmm. You know, we can go other places where, you know, in the Hebrew where it actually doesn't start there. And the thing about it is that there is no really explanation of God in the beginning of the Bible. This is not to really explain God. God is too much to be explained. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. There is no explaining of him. There is no definition for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and we need to stop trying to define him. And religion tries to define God. We can't define God. God is. Mm-hmm. And that's just it. We gonna have that going through the whole series. Ain't nothing wrong with it. We know we have made a port port with
so
Harry.
So in the first chapter.
I'm gonna get you back on that.
That's wrong.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the faces of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. My first question to you, and the point of reference is, when we look at it, the night that I put on this table is, how can we get light, how can we get the earth being formed and void before we get the light of the universe?
Yeah,
don't everybody talk at one time.
Talking about the sun being created on the fourth day.
That's right. But here we have the earth already forming void before he even said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is this trying to tell us? Is it trying to tell us anything about God creating the physical universe as much as it's trying to tell us something about who? Mankind, ourselves. Mm. Because it starts off by saying he created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. So it first starts telling us about the state in which the earth was in.
Which is us, right?
So it starts off, number one, talking about what? The state of the earth.
The state.
And what was the state of the earth?
It was void. Dark. It was without form.
So it was void and formless, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts off number one with the state of the earth on that first day. It starts off with the state of the earth, and that's powerful. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Why do we say that starts off? Why can I say in my interpretation that starts off talking about us, about man? And the state that we're in. And I'm looking from it from a salvation standpoint. Already I can glimpse that off the scriptures as soon as I read it. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And I like that because it's organic, Harry. Mm-hmm. It's, that means it's alive. It's movable. It's not rigid. It's not in a box. Mm-hmm. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. These are the words, these same words. Jesus Christ is the logic of God. He's the word of God. These words are alive. They're movable. They're organic. They're able to move. So when they talk about, when the Bible's talking about here, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, it's talking about our state of knowing of being without God. Mm-hmm. Our state of not knowing who we are. Mm-hmm. And some would say we was not in a state of awareness, of consciousness of God. There is no consciousness of God here. You understand what I'm saying? There is no defineness. There is no order to what we do. We didn't know that everything had a point or a reason for why we were doing it. Now, you understand what I'm saying? This would be like a person without parents. This would be a person that just lives life. I mean, they don't have a point to what they do. They don't know it has a point. They're void. And I like this. Because void and formless, two things about void and formless, I see just looking at it. Now, y'all step in here at any time.
Void means empty.
I know I'm leading the way here, but void means what?
Empty.
Empty.
To no effect.
That's right. Void. Yeah. And I like that because the first thing I start thinking of, if it's void, it's empty. It has nothing in the container. Okay? It's void. There's nothing there. That's what I'm thinking now. Y'all have something else to add to it, let me know. But the thing about it is there's nothing here. And then formless tell me it's not only nothing on the inside, there's nothing on the outside.
There's no form here.
So that means there's nothing in here and there's nothing to contain it.
Mm. And then void could also be like when he created man.
Go ahead.
Okay, he created man and man was, out of nothing.
Go ahead.
And
don't look for whether it's right or wrong. Just speak. You can't be wrong.
I kind of lost it. What I'm saying is, in his creation of man, when in the fallen state of man, he was empty and void. Mm-hmm. He once was, and then he became void.
He once was empty? Go ahead, explain yourself.
He once wasn't empty.
Uh-huh.
But then he became void.
That's right.
And then he got redone.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That could be because when we bought a transaction out, we bought a transaction out, the transaction is made and we did it right. Mm-hmm. But something was wrong, mm-hmm. So therefore we bought it out. Mm-hmm. It was a transaction at first anyway. Mm-hmm. So then it became void.
And also, what I see from void and formless, I feel like, you know, when something is void, it's not effective. When something mm-hmm. is void, it's not able to fulfill its purpose.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, when one is made void or when one is void, it's not effective. It's not productive. It's not able to truly fulfill its purpose. So when the earth was void and formless, we see now the purpose of the earth. But at that point, it was purposeless.
Purposeless. Because that's powerful. Yeah.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's a powerful aspect to it.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Because then I'm looking at the Hebrew right here. And write down in Strong's number, in case one of you get it Strong's later on.
Okay.
Strong's number 8414. And this is for with the, when it says without form. And it's an unusual root that means to lie at waste or desolation. It means a worthless thing. And that's powerful. So that's what formless, this word formless is. Strong's number, what did I say it was?
8414. And also, when something is formless, it doesn't have a foundation.
That's right.
That's actually what I'm looking at as well. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's just like when the Bible says, upon this rock I will build my church. You know, I feel like the rock itself is the foundation. Mm-hmm. So without Jesus being our foundation, we are formless. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
That's kind of what also what I think.
Boy, that ain't doing too good.
I think with them boys, you got to put some.
Put some arms.
Yeah, you got to put. Nah, you probably put some. They go to it. There was one of them boys there.
Oh, okay. So he had to get him some spray mix.
Yeah, like spray or something. Yeah.
So this formless. So the thing about it is, it means what now? We said what we said. It's light waste. And what did you say, Harry? Purposeless.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. See if I was writing my notebook, this is exactly how I would write it. It means to lie at waste or purposeless. What else did we say? It also means vain. And see, now we're starting to put that connection to it because this comes before the light. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What else was it there?
I would say desolation, worthless,
worthless, a worthless thing. Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? It means confusion. Mm. One interpretation by the King James was confusion.
That makes sense.
I wouldn't.
Right? Without God, we are confused.
Yes. Mm. That's right.
Sometimes with God, we're confused.
Yes, Lord.
It means empty place. Mm. I spelled that wrong. It also means wilderness. Mm-hmm. Another interpretation of it.
Well,
That makes sense, don't it?
Yeah,
that makes sense. And hey, you see all this we getting just out of one word. Mm-hmm. I see that when you study, that's how you should do. You should start pulling this stuff and just think about that one word. Just start making a line of it. Then automatically, I'm going to tell you what I do when I'm studying. Automatically, see, and that's why knowing the stories of the Bible is going to come very important to you.
Okay.
Because you start learning to connect the dots. All of a sudden, when I see this, I'm already running through a couple of scriptures in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already running through a couple of situations.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I'm always, when I hear that word wilderness, I'm already thinking about the children of Israel
mm-hmm.
in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? When I hear that, when I see that, to lie at waste. When I see this thing purposeless. Automatically, when I hear the word without form. Well, what's the first scripture I think about? I think about that scripture that I think it's Isaiah 46. Let me see here. I want to say Isaiah 46 and 12.
Hearken unto me, ye stout hearted that are far from right.
That's not where I was. Okay, Isaiah 45 and 7. Somebody read that.
45. Oh, okay.
And we see the consistency of that. Read it out loud. Somebody read it out loud.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil.
So go back to that first one.
I form the light and create darkness.
So what's got to come first? The creation of what? Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? If this is formless, then light is form.
Mm-hmm.
We automatically start getting that. You understand what I'm saying here? So the thing about it is that he says, I create darkness and I form the light and create darkness. So this right here is a state of darkness, to lie in waste, purpleness, vainness, wilderness, confusion, empty.
Yes.
Automatically we see the consistency of God. Because you got to remember, these manuscripts were written over hundreds of years apart from each other. But the consistency, you understand what I'm saying? What was it, Isaiah?
45:7.
What's our second word here? Void. See, me, I don't think about creation, God creating this and that and that. That's on the surface. The real important thing is, what is he doing in us?
Mm-hmm.
What is he doing in my spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so powerful. Yeah.
It is. It's powerful because the thing about it is, I think about what's void in my life? What's purpose? See, sometimes when we study, a lot of people study to see what they can say, not what they can do.
Now that is right.
So you've already watered everything down if you're looking for information to talk about.
Okay.
And not looking for something to implement.
Oh my God.
You see what,
you see
what I'm saying?
Up there. You better preach. That's
now
problem.
You understand what I'm saying? Who can I tell this to? It ain't who you can tell you to. It's can you tell this to you?
Mm-hmm.
See, me and Harry been looking at something. I don't know if he told you that. No, no, Jim. We're looking at something, and I told Harry not too long ago. I said, give me that word conscious. Study it down. Break that word conscious down for me. And, you know, and I have been doing a little study myself on that word conscious, and it's powerful. Because conscious, being conscious, and conscience come from the same sort of the same word.
Exactly.
But it's actually come from Latin as co-knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's actually your ability to tell your other self.
Cause.
That's what also we get the word conspiracy. Nobody else knows.
No, I would have never thought that.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Nobody else knows. What have you told yourself? Mm-hmm. Because what are you consciously aware of about you, that creates your conscience? You see what I'm saying?
That's powerful.
Can you know when you do something, see that's the powerful thing about consciousness. The thing about it is, have you done something that you are aware of? And that what you are aware of, is it right or wrong? And then you have to tell yourself that. See, you're consciously aware. And that's where also we get the word conspiracy from, because the thing about it is two or more or a group or more knowing something that the others does not know. And if you don't know nothing is wrong, you see what I'm saying? Then you're not conscious, so therefore you're not conscious.
So you did your homework, brother.
Good God. Oh, you are so crazy. That boy is so crazy. So what I'm trying to do is, what do I know? What am I consciously aware of that I know is wrong or that I know is right, but I'm not implementing? You see what you understand what I'm saying here? So that's the thing. So when you're studying something concerning the word of God, is to look at you. God is trying to make you consciously aware.
You
understand what I'm saying here? Yeah, because it'll be told through your actions.
That's right.
It'll be told through the way you do things. Okay. It'll be told. Mm. Oh, look. Come on here.
It's amazing.
So what's our next word? Void, right? I mean, void. That's what we see. So, and the earth was. Earth. This word earth. What is that word earth? The reason why I connect that to man, I'm not just connecting that to man because it's earth. I'm connected to man because where was man taken from?
From the earth.
So automatically, that becomes a definition through everything that runs through Scripture. Mm-hmm. Watch out for it when it talks about earth, because it could relate back to who?
Man. Yeah, man. Because
what is his name? Adam.
Adam.
Or Adam, which means red clay.
Red clay.
Because that's what he was taken from, red clay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Esau name means Edom, which goes back to Adam, which goes back to our word Adam, which means red clay. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Esau was a man that went out and hunted and all that kind of stuff. He was the one that always connected, had a connection with the ground. So that's where we're getting that from. So the earth or Adam was. See, automatically I'm already connecting and said, and Adam was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of his deep. That was upon the face of his soul or his spirit. See what I'm saying?
I feel you. Okay.
You connecting the dots?
Yeah.
Come on, talk about it. Talk about it.
I feel you.
Talk about it. So go back and look at that word earth whenever you get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure that we're talking about the same one. But that's where I'm connecting the dots. When I say earth, I'm talking about Adam coming from the ground, coming from the dirt. He was without form and he was void. You understand what I'm saying? Because if we want to go physically, if we want to talk about just scientifically, then this couldn't work.
Okay, and that's okay.
Good God Almighty. The reason why couldn't that work? The reason why that couldn't work, because you have to have light first. Because everything in the universe is created by light. That's what Albert Einstein was saying. Everything in the universe is built by light. So God would have said, let there be light first. And then you have to have the earth form of void. But this starts off, number one, talks about the formless and void state of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because God ain't talking about how he created, because ain't no use of trying to explain to you how he created
that's
anything.
Right, you're never
that's just
understand.
Like me out there trying to explain to a 2-year-old how I just got through building the car. When you get through explaining everything you did, that 2-year-old sat there, just just can I have a cracker?
Oh man!
God ain't got time to tell you how he built the universe. You wouldn't be able to even get into that anyway.
Yeah, that's powerful.
You know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Even as high as the heaven is from the earth, so my thoughts is from your thoughts. You understand what I'm saying? Have you looked at how high that is? Have you ever stood on earth and looked up to the heavens and see how high that is? And the thing about it is, what's so powerful about Christ, God making that statement is, my thoughts are not your thoughts, as high as the heavens is from the earth, is because the heavens really don't have a limit. So when he says as high as the heavens, you don't know which heaven he's talking about, because it expands. Mm-hmm. There is no limit. The heavens of heavens cannot even contain him. So you can't even begin to compare. Some people thinking about just the air. And saying he's saying from the earth to the air. No, he said the heavens. So the heavens expand in every direction. There is no north, south, east, or west. To the earth, there is direction. For God, there is no direction. There is no north space or south space or east or west with God. There is only is. It's only now.